It's time for JT the Brick.
This is a new regime led by Antonio Pierce, a former player who's won a Super Bowl.
Our vision is clear. Win a division.
He's the right guy at the right time for this job. Right guy, right time to get the Raiders back, not to greatness, to the playoffs.
Our intention of how we play, the execution of our play, the mindset of our team, that's what I'm looking for.
I would love to see Antonio Pierce have the opportunity to coach this Raider team. I think he deserves it.
JT the Brick.
This coach wants to be more physical. He wants to put his hands on players.
You got the Jordan rules, and I'm calling it out from now on, as long as I'm here, the Patrick Mahomes rules.
I like when the head coach says this. I'm a season ticket holder.
Squeezing by the throat.
Antonio Pierce wants to get the black hole back to where it was in the Coliseum in Oakland. Let's help him.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Welcome, Raider Nation, and everyone else that's joining us live on the flagship of the Silver and Black, also YouTube, as we sent out the link at JT the Brick YT, and that's on Twitter or X at JT the Brick. Thanks for joining us today. Got a busy show lined up. I'll tell you all of that coming up here. I think we got a good topic in the monologue brought to you by PTs. They fuel the monologue every day on the show, plus 5 to 7, midnight to 2. That's the best happy hour in town. Head on out to any of the 70 taverns here in the valley and go hang out and cool off. It was hot today again. We had a couple of days. It seemed like the temperature was turning down a bit, and now it is piping hot again in Vegas, and that's the way I love it. The Euros are going on. I love the European Soccer Championship. I love it. Watched England and Denmark today. You got Spain and Italy coming up. Big games, man, if you follow that, which I do. And then we got baseball. Yankees are throwing at the Orioles. The Orioles are throwing at the Yankees. Willie Mays just passed away. We did an entire tribute show to Willie Mays. If you didn't get through, you want to put together a Willie Mays call. That's still open as they're playing in Birmingham tonight with the big game on Fox, a throwback back to the Negro Leagues. It's a big broadcast tonight, and Willie Mays will be featured in that. I guess my son, who's in studio with me, was telling me that the Celtics went to Miami for their party celebration. They didn't come to Vegas, probably too long of a flight, so they went to Miami, and they'll be back for their parade coming up on Friday. Bryson DeChambeau was walking around Broadway in Nashville, liquored up, having fun with the U.S. Open trophy. I'll get into that. He's just walking down the street with the U.S. Open trophy in Nashville, having a great time. And what else do I want to get to? Again, excited. I had some friends in town last night. We went to Virgin, One Steakhouse. I got an announcement to make with Virgin. That's why I was there last night for kind of a toast. That's coming up here, so busy show as we get rolling here. And I'm excited because, once again, I found false propaganda against the Raiders today. So, again, I'll keep mentioning my son as he's on his way to his office. And I talked to him today, and I said, let's do a video. I go, what am I going to talk about today? You see, that's really what my job is. What do I believe we should talk about every day? Many radio hosts don't want to do that. They want to talk about their lives. No one cares about my life. But every once in a while, I'll tell you, I'm emceeing an event. I got a buddy in town. I don't do 20 minutes on that crap. You know, I don't think anybody cares where I go to Starbucks or Pete's Coffee or what I'm doing or this and that. I'm going away to a concert, going to see Dead & Company. I'd tell you about it. My name's on the show. But these are the dog days of summer. The Raiders are on vacation, as in a real vacation. Get out of the building, get your workout in, drink your protein shake, don't get fat, don't get arrested, go on vacation. So we're here, Q went on vacation, good time for him. I'm going on the week of July 4th. Everybody take a break from the Raiders. But we kind of got a job. We're on the flagship of the Raiders in Vegas, heading into our fifth season. And there's a lot of newbies in Vegas that don't know a lot about the Raiders. You know those guys who sell their tickets to every game for triple the price and don't even go to the game? You know those guys and gals. So my job is to educate the new fans by bringing in the old school fans to talk about the history of this team. And we're going to get to that coming up here. We're going to get to that because we're doing the top 10 Raider games of all time. And I'm really excited about that as we're putting some time into that. But today, I couldn't believe what my son told me. My son was on Vegas Insider. That's where the odds are for sports, gambling odds. And he said, Dad, the Raiders are plus 900 or all the way up to plus 1,200. That means you bet 100, you win 1,200. You think the Raiders are going to win the AFC West? You got to be Kansas City to do that. So Kansas City's minus 250, which means you have to spend $250 to win 100. Okay, that's, you know, those aren't great odds, but Kansas City is a heavy favorite. All right, I'm good with that. But then all of a sudden he told me the Chargers are plus 350. I said, say that again. The Raiders are plus 1,000. The Chargers are plus 350. I said, wait a minute. The Chargers won 5 games last year. Every time there's a big game with the Chargers in our building, we either eliminate them from the playoffs, eliminate them, or we put up our all-time franchise record. All-time. Not Stabler, not Plunkett, not LaMonica, not Flores, not Blanda. Guy by the name of Aiden O'Connell on the team, and Jack Jones had a pick 6. A lot of guys played well in that game. But we put 63 on their ass. And they're plus 350 to win the division, and we're plus 1,000. Even Charger fans are in my Twitter saying, that's Charger propaganda. That's all it is. Now, did the Chargers get better? Wait a second. They don't have Keenan Allen. They don't have Mike Williams. And they don't have Austin Eckler. Those are some pretty good guys. Those are good players. They're not even on the team anymore. They drafted Joe Alt, the top offensive lineman. Great job. They're going to run the ball. Can anybody name the Charger running backs? I can, and I'm a professional NFL talk show host. No one's ever heard of the Charger running backs. And they got some good young players, but they don't have Max Crosby. They don't have Devontae Adams. They don't have Christian Wilkins. They don't have A.J. Cole and Daniel Carlson. So that is a pure example of outright Charger propaganda. Now, the good news is we were dealing with a lot of Denver propaganda with Sean Payton. Oh, Sean Payton's coming. He's the greatest coach of all time. What are you talking about? Tom Coughlin won 2 Super Bowls. Tom Flores won 2 Super Bowls. Sean Payton won 1. So did John Gruden. A lot of guys win a Super Bowl. Mike McCarthy's won. Mike Tomlin won. And they're all acting like Sean Payton's going to deliver a Super Bowl to Denver. I don't think Denver has – Denver might have one of the worst rosters in the entire NFL. And I believe, and what were they, plus 2,000, John, to win the West? Plus 1,800. All right, I think that's fair. Finally, I'm not having Denver shoved through my ears as a favorite to win. So that's the topic for the monologue. I'd like to hear some people who are gamblers. Aren't you all gambling? I don't bet, but maybe you do. And can someone tell me the value of this play? I don't think the Raiders are going to win the AFC West. I'd like them to. I think they got a really good roster. And I think they got 2 quarterbacks who can play. They're not elite, but I think they're good. I really do. And you know, Aiden O'Connell's a young player. What the hell more do you want him to do? He played last year. He got Antonio Pierce the job. He helped him get the job by winning. He beat Kansas City in Kansas City. Well, he didn't complete a pass after the first quarter. You're right. He also didn't turn the ball over and fumble the snaps and throw pick sixes either. He put up 63 on the Chargers. If I would have told you last year, follow me here for a second because I remember where I was at this time last year. This time last year, I'm sitting here grinding through the month of June and all you're doing is calling me ripping on Josh McDaniels. That's all you're doing. And I'm taking your calls going, give the guy a chance. They're not going to fire him. It's year one. He's going into year two. Give him a chance. They got Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy will be healthy by the start of the season. Oh, and he was, and he beat Denver by sliding for a first down. So the Raiders went 1-0. With Josh McDaniels and Jimmy Garoppolo, and the future was kind of promising. Jimmy's injury, Brian Hoyer, the wheels come off. What does Aiden O'Connell do? He gets thrown into the fire. They get a new head coach, and then he wins games. Beats Kansas City on Kansas City and puts up the all-time scoring record for this proud franchise. Who had that before the beginning of last season? Nobody. Nobody had that. Maybe Aiden O'Connell will play a couple of games if the Raiders are eliminated from the playoffs. That's all you had last year on Aiden O'Connell. So do we all agree that Aiden O'Connell's better than last year? Let's at least admit to that. He should be better than last year where he was a rookie and thrown into the fire. He had an offseason. He's getting the OTAs. He's getting all this. He's going to have a training camp. He's getting pushed by Gardner Minshew. He should be a little bit better. Offensive line is better. We got that lunatic from Oregon, the lunatic who will knock you down and laugh when he's conquered and won. He's a nut job in a good way. Love him. And then the rest of the team, Colton Miller seems to be 100% close to. Max had surgery. He's great. Devontae's got a documentary that he's on with the receivers. Zeus takes off his shirt, and he looks like a young Arnold Schwarzenegger ready to run the ball. I thought last year, if you asked me, I thought the linebackers played pretty well. I really believe Spillane was a Pro Bowl candidate. He had a hell of a year. And I thought Trayvon Merrigan proved, and Epps is a pretty good player. He played in the Super Bowl for the Eagles. And we got Jack Jones off the scrap heap. What a signing that was. All Antonio Pierce. Antonio Pierce saw that and signed him. He's now going to be a starter. All in all, I think it was a pretty good year down the stretch. If the Raiders had three or four more games left, I think they would have fought their way, or two more games left, they would have made the playoffs. But woulda, coulda, shoulda. So there are the Chargers now. As we look at the Chargers and the Charger propaganda on the day on season win totals for that organization. The Raiders are 6.5 across the board. Raiders 6.5. They need to win 7 games, just 7, for you to cash a ticket. That's all they have to do. Ooh, breaking news. Thank you. My son, J.J. Redick, agrees to a 4-year contract to become the head coach of the Lakers, according to Woj. That's some good radio. No one else had that before us. That just happened a second ago. J.J. Redick, a 4-year contract to become Lakers head coach, has started working on a staff to surround himself with experience. Good for him. All right, so the Raiders are plus 6.5. The Broncos are plus 5.5. I mean, I talk about false propaganda with the Broncos all the time. I think they'll win more than 5.5. Hey, and I got bad news, man. They've lost 8 in a row to the Raiders. That streak's going to end at some point. It's hard to beat a team 10 times in a row, but let's hope the Raiders sweep them one more year. So the Raiders are 6.5. The Giants are 6.5. The Saints are 7. The Vikings are 7.5. The Seahawks are 7.5. The Buccaneers are 7.5 or 8. The Cardinals stink. The Cardinals stink. And they're 6.5 like the Raiders. Oh, but there are the Chargers. Chargers season win total, 8.5 to 9. So maybe I'm wrong, man. Maybe someone's going to save this YouTube and clip me, as they say. Clip me. And they're going to play it in December saying that knucklehead JT said Chargers propaganda. Well, this is being recorded in June. And this is my opinion in June. Chargers at 8.5. Jags at 8.5. Steelers, 8.5. I'm good with all that. So, I want to know from you today specifically, because we got some good potential guests, 702-365-9200, if you believe the Raiders are going to have a better year than the Chargers. I'm not talking Kansas City today or Denver. Denver's on the back burner. Denver's on the back burner. Kansas City's the team that everybody's chasing. And I'd like your opinion on that, because I found some propaganda today along with my son, and I think it's a slap in the face to the silver and black. I really do. I think it's a slap in the face to the silver and black, and I want your opinion on that. 702-365-9200, because this is summertime radio. I'm not going early on my top 10 games, and I'd like to hear from you on that, because you can tell my blood isn't boiling as I'm having a soft drink here on the air. My blood isn't boiling, but I don't know, man. I don't know what more I can tell you in the Raider Nation about the outright disrespect you're getting from inside Vegas gambling circles. Hey, man, let me cut to the chase. It's one of two things. Either the Raiders are going to have a terrible year, because everyone thinks they are, right? Everybody thinks they are. So everybody in that corner, everybody, that whole group, thinks the Raiders are going to have a bad year. Think they're going to win about 6 games. That's a bad year. Or you're on the side of the fans that go, look, I don't know if they're going to have a great year, but they're going to be pretty damn good. And if they play well at quarterback, they could be really nice and maybe win 10 games. That's all it is. Not much more than that. I mean, I don't think the Raiders are going to win 3 or 4 games. Some do. I don't think the Raiders are going to win 11 or 12. Some do. You got to find out where you're at. Where are you in this group that we're talking about now? So that's it. That's what I'd like to hear from you today. It's a directive action to participate in the show. So it's a direct action to participate in the show. How do you feel about the Chargers being plus 350 to win the division and the Raiders plus 1,000? That should get some of you all fired up. So let's hear what you have to say on that. That's one of the things I wanted to talk about today. The Raiders posted our interview on their big, big, big website, Raiders.com. They posted our interview with Max Crosby. So I was listening to that today, and it was really good because Max did it all. I just asked a couple questions. Max was absolutely amazing. Amazing. And he looks ready to go. Also, ESPN has an article out on one last offseason move for all 32 teams. They put it behind a paywall. I can get behind there. Obviously, the Raiders need a cornerback, according to most people, and potentially there's still a quarterback out there who's available in Ryan Tannehill. No thanks, but if he came here, we'd pick him up at the airport and welcome him. But I think the Raiders are pretty good with Gardner Minshew, who they give $15 million to. So that's a big number there. And we're all excited about what the Raiders can do this year as they're going to head out on a trip to Costa Mesa to play in a little bit of cooler weather. Cooler weather along the way. And fortunately, maybe that'll help in their conditioning, their mental mindset, being with their teammates, having a little bit of a curfew, not being at home, changing diapers and hitting golf balls in their backyard. You know, more of a focus as they get ready for this camp. And I'm excited about it because I want to get the hell out of here for a couple of weeks. I've been here since 96. Half of you thought I lived in Oakland in the biggity biggity O. No, I lived here. And you got to get out of here this time of year if you can. You got to run to the border. You got to run to the ocean. You got to get to the mountains of Tahoe. You can do a lot here and cool off. Mount Charleston, not too far from me. You can go up there and cool off here as it's getting really hot. Also, a lot of the listeners here are Laker fans. If you're a Laker fan, be the first to call in on J.J. Redick being your head coach. I don't know. The contract, they haven't announced the money yet. I'm good with this. I mean, look, they're taking young guys who just played. My son's shaking his head. He's a diehard Laker fan. He doesn't like this at all. But this is what's happening in sports. You're hiring guys in their 30s or early 40s with no experience and give them a shot because they can talk to the players. This guy, J.J. Redick, has a podcast with LeBron James. J.J. Redick can make more money. I don't know what he's getting now, but I know how they lowballed Danny Hurley. They lowballed Danny Hurley and gave him less than Monty Williams, who's been fired twice. Okay, so they lowballed him. Let's say J.J. Redick got $65 million over 6 years. He could make that. It's a four-year deal. You're right. So four-year deal, what are you thinking? Maybe 50? 30. You're thinking 30? Ooh, this is going to be interesting. I think 4 years. So you don't think he's getting over 10? All right, let's give him 4 years. Man, I got to think they offered Bobby Hurley 65. Monty Williams got 65. So let's just say for the conversation, J.J. Redick gets $40 million over 4 years. He can make more on his podcast and his TV and all his media, probably around the same amount of money. But you don't turn down. You don't turn down the Laker job. What are you, nuts? You can't turn down the Lakers. If someone offers you the head coach of the Packers, or the Bears, or the Lakers, or the Celtics, you got to take the job, man. Well, it's not. No, you take the job. It's a legacy play. To be the manager of the New York Yankees or the L.A. Dodgers, you're going to get big money to begin with, but if it's not what you think, you still got to take that job overall. I think Redick is a sharp guy. He's going to have a lot to prove. I think he's going to come in pretty ready to roll. I think because he is a mouthpiece for LeBron James with the podcast, I think him and LeBron have already sat out at the pool, and LeBron is mapping the players that he wants to get with Rob Pelinka, and they're going to try to add another player and make a deep run because LeBron's running out of time. And then the other bigger elephant in the room is Bronny James, LeBron's son, who's either going to get drafted in the second round by somebody. If someone's smart, I'm talking someone smart from New Orleans to Oklahoma City to Milwaukee, just draft Bronny James in the second round. Just take him. And maybe dad will come with him. Maybe dad will go, hey, I'm done with the Lakers. I'm going to go play with you. I'll go to Portland for 1 year. I'll go to New Orleans with Zion and my son for a year. That could happen. But I think LeBron wants to stay in L.A., and the better chance for LeBron is to get Bronny to there. And you can just get Bronny James on the Lakers just to work out with his dad and travel with his dad. How cool would it be for LeBron? Does anybody have a problem with this, by the way? I would do it. My son turned 21 the other day. My son in studio's 23. If you told me that I could take a year off of my life and travel with my sons as they're working and going around the country, I'd do it in a minute. I really would. It'd be hard to do, but I'd consider it. How cool would it be for LeBron James to get on the private Laker jet and travel around with his son and go to the gym an hour early and put up shots and lift weights with your son? It's a big deal for people in life. They want to spend more time with their family. Antonio Pierce has his son, young gentleman I haven't met yet on the staff. Who has a problem with that? You get to go to work with dad. You're not calling the plays. You're not in charge of the scheme. You're there working with dad. You're learning. I think that's fantastic. So those are some of the things that I want to talk about. Charger propaganda, as they're expected to win more games than the Raiders and easily win the division if the Chiefs don't, than the Raiders. I'd like your opinion on that, because I've been getting shut out here in the first quarter of the show a lot. I've been doing these 28-minute monologues. I'm at 21 now. So I'd like to hear some Raider fans wake up, or I'll just go on vacation and we'll kick back, or we'll do some Raider content. Johnny Katz will join us, the entertainment reporter, the award-winning entertainment reporter. He's going to join us. Albert Hall, the architect of NBA Summer League. We got some cool things happening with NBA Summer League coming up here. I'm excited. He's going to join us at 1:40. And quick funny story, not funny to me. Yesterday, I texted Pete Rose and Reggie Jackson. I said, could you come on the death of Willie Mays? And the show ended at noon, and Vinny took over at 2. Right, Vinny did the show for Q. And I'm driving home, and I get a text from Vinny, Pete Rose is on hold. I'm like, oh, no. Pete Rose is on hold. And then I'm sitting home, and I'm home for about 20 minutes, and I get a text from Reggie Jackson. Should I call in now? And I go, no. I had Pete Rose and Reggie Jackson ready to go yesterday on their friend Willie Mays, and we missed him. So I got text out to both of them. Reggie's in Birmingham, so we'll see what happens there. Maybe Pete Rose will check in. Pete's always busy doing something, working, signing, but I put out a text to him, so maybe that'll pop in. 702-365-9200 as we open up the show here. And we got a busy show tonight. I'm double dipping today. I'm doing 3 hours tonight on Mad Dog from 4 to 7 p.m., which I'm excited to do there tonight. So we'll get on this. And tonight's going to be interesting. I think I hit a home run tonight being on nationally with J.J. Redick going to the Lakers. So I think that he's going to be a lightning rod. And I think that's going to be fun to see what happens there. Let's head out to Colorado Springs. Thank God we got this Raiders mobile app, man. Thank God Al is in Colorado Springs. What's going on, Al?
Hey, MJT, what's going on, baby?
What do you say?
Man, hey, look, I think Vegas is giving away money, man. I really do. And I'm telling you right now, there's no way in hell that the Raiders won't win 7 games. You know? So I don't even bet, JT. But I'm thinking I'm starting to gamble. I think I'm going to start gambling.
Yeah, maybe you should open up an account. Maybe you should open up an account in Colorado and bet the Raiders. But, hey, look, I'm not saying the Raiders are going to win the division, but they beat Kansas City last year. Let's say the Raiders split with Kansas City, and Kansas City doesn't have a great year. Let's say Kansas City just takes a little bit of a step back. It'd be nice to hold the ticket that says Raiders to win the AFC West plus 1,100 and have that in your pocket for Christmas morning.
You know, and seeing that's it. You know, because, see, I thought last year Kansas City was done.
Yeah.
I don't know how they got. I thought Buffalo or the Ravens was going to take them out, but they didn't. That's their fault. You know what I mean? But they wasn't as good last year as they was the year before, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
All right? The Raiders have got better.
Yeah.
I don't care what nobody say. AOC is going to get gotten better. Mm-hmm. He's going to get better. That's what he do. The only thing AOC lacks is he can't run that well.
Yeah, he's not a mobile quarterback.
But I think he's going to prove on, because AP said that he's improving his footwork, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm saying you're going to see a little Ben Roethlisberger, you know, with AOC. You know, he's going to be sliding left or sliding right, because that's what he needs to do, step up a little bit, step back. Because, you know, Brady, he wasn't that mobile. Big Ben wasn't mobile, but they moved in the pocket. It was cool.
You can compare him. Look, Big Ben. And, hey, Al, thanks for calling from Colorado Springs on that app. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks for starting me off so I didn't get shut out like a Caitlin Clark bad game. Don't want to get shut out here in the first quarter of the game. You can't compare Aiden O'Connell to Tom Brady. Stop. And he did. You can't don't compare Aiden O'Connell to Tom Brady ever. Ever. Leave Tom Brady's name out of your mouth when you're talking about Aiden O'Connell. And Ben Roethlisberger won 2 Super Bowls going to the Hall of Fame. So you're going to have to find a quarterback that you can compare Aiden to that's not very mobile, that turned out to be pretty good. Joe Flacco is my best example. He had one of the greatest postseasons ever, including Joe Montana, one of the best. He wasn't very mobile, really good arm. Aiden's got a decent arm. I think it's going to get stronger, right? He's just in second year. So you got to find the quarterback that's less mobile. Phil Sims, I grew up with Phil Sims with the Giants. Phil Sims was immobile. Phil Sims was not very mobile, but man, he was gritty and gutty. Right, so you got to find a quarterback that can kind of throw well in the pocket and make good decisions. The whole key to Aiden this year is Aiden's got to get with Luke Getsy if he becomes the starting quarterback after camp and after the preseason. And then you have to hope that he understands Luke Getsy's offense quickly to get the ball out to Brock Bowers. I said it. I'm a Devontae guy, so I don't have to clarify it. We got to get Brock Bowers the ball all the time. Do you got me? We got to get Brock Bowers the ball all the time. He is a gift from the sports gods handed to us in Vegas. I met his parents twice. I interviewed his mom and dad. He's legit. He's a legend. He comes in as an icon out of college all time. We can't wait to get him going. I thought we, the Raider Nation, mishandled Michael Mayer last year. And that would be Josh McDaniels, obviously the offensive staff. When Josh got let go, as they were trying to figure out what they were going to do, Michael Mayer got lost. They didn't throw him the ball anymore other than scripted plays. That can't happen to Michael Mayer again, and it can't happen to Brock Bowers. That is something I'm going to be preaching from the Raider Nation pulpit the entire year. And I hope I don't have to talk about it on the postgame show after a loss if Brock Bowers has two receptions for 19 yards and Michael Mayer has one reception for 6 yards. My head will blow up. I'll lose my mind. We're not going to do that this year, man. We're going to get the ball out quick, and we're going to get it, and we're going to go, go, go. And we're not going to huddle up, and we're not going to slow. We're not going to take the energy out of the crowd. After Brock Bowers gets a 13-yard game, we're running to the line of scrimmage. Run it again. Run the plays that you ran in Henderson and run them again if they work. That's it. And that's how the Raiders are of value at plus 900 or plus 1,000 to win the AFC West. I wouldn't make the bet. I don't think they're going to beat Kansas City, who's minus 250, but some of you Raider gamblers, man, you put a lot of money into those video poker machines. Put a lot of money into your cerveza. If you're on YouTube, you see I have my Modelo mug today. Modelo, proud partner of this show and Raider Nation Radio.
I mean, it's different. I mean, you're talking about the probably the most dynamic football player in college football at that tight end position in a long time. And it's rare you get a guy like that, you know, that can line up as a slot receiver, see him in the backfield, reverse, catch the ball. I think more importantly, his toughness. Watching him block in the SEC, watching him get after guys, I mean, that's what impressed me. Just a gritty player, more importantly, a winner. And he can help us score points.
Yeah. You talk about Brock Bowers and what he could do. Blocking downfield, winning. Winning is the only option, as I often say on the show. Welcome back, JT, with you. Brought to you by me. And we're going to have soon 19 partners on this show with the announcement of the two new ones. One, a familiar friend who's back, and I could say that now, Virgin coming back. We are thrilled to be back at Virgin. Huge deal for us. Thrilled. New president, new everything over there. They're kind of tweaking it. I was there yesterday. And we're back at Virgin, which is really cool. And then another spirits company, maybe the drink that I drink the most, other than Modelo. So we're going to have that covered, too, coming up. So we're excited about all this. This Chargers propaganda, we got a couple of videos out there, which I'm going to take heat for. Some of the, you know, Chargers got like 36 fans. 32 of them are on Instagram. They're going to come after me pretty hard. But, you know, look, this Jim Harbaugh might do it. If Jim Harbaugh does it and he turns it around quickly there, it's going to be at the expense of the Raiders. Because if he's going to do it, that means he's going to beat the Raiders and he's going to beat Denver. And their season win total, they can shatter that if they beat the Raiders in Denver right out of the gate. Plus, they're playing a terrible schedule. They got an easier schedule than the Raiders. So there's a chance. I'm wrong all the time. I'm paid to have opinions, not to be right on everything, that the Chargers could have a better year than I'm thinking. But I've been around the Raiders a lot lately, the draft class mixer, alumni. I've been doing a lot with the Raiders lately, and I've been around these rookies. We did media day, 3.5 hours on a live stream, right? We did that. I see something different. Do I say that every year? No, because a lot of times there's nothing different. There wasn't much difference in the 9 years of Derek Carr. What was different? Derek's back at the quarterback. And what else? Crabtree and who do we have? Well, we got this new kid, Max Crosby. And I didn't come in every year saying, oh, my God, the Raiders are mind-blowingly better. They're unbelievable. The only time in my career on the radio I ever picked the Raiders to win the Super Bowl was the year after Jack Del Rio went 12-4. Said, man, everybody's kind of coming back. Jack had him 12-4. I mean, next year's a Super Bowl year. No, not the case. So I'm out here picking the Raiders to go to the Super Bowl. But I'm here to hopefully see this roster improve and see the fans have a little bit more to root for this year. The breaking news, J.J. Redick is named the head coach of the Lakers. Like to hear from some sports fans in this basketball town we call Vegas. To comment on that, 702-365-9200. I don't hate it. I don't love it. You know, I'm a big believer that from time to time you have to hire younger people who have star power. Everybody understand that? There's a lot of things happening in the world. Times, if you're a guy in your 50s, I got some of my buddies, most of my buddies are in their mid to late 50s. They're an endangered species to get a job. They are. I've got buddies of mine who've had jobs for 20 years, and they're in between jobs now, and they're like, oh, my God, I lost out on a job to a 24-year-old. Well, that's what J.J. Redick is. J.J. Redick is a young guy in NBA years who passed up a lot of coaches in their 50s and 60s who are right next to the head coach on the bench, and Bobby deserved that job.
I think they should have gone with Monty Williams, first of all. I think he's a more experienced coach. I think they'd have been in a better shape with that. Me being a Celtic fan, I'm loving all of this because anything that makes the Lakers look bad, and they've been doing a great job with it for the past 10 years, I've seen this before, all right? Hiring a guy from television to be a coach, didn't we just do this?
Yeah, that's an interesting point you make.
I just can't buy into it.
Yeah, well, hiring someone from TV... A lot of people want to do this. Pigs is saying Steve Nash backfired with the Nets. Oh, I tell you, Steve Kerr was doing a little bit of TV, not a lot. And Steve Kerr was unbelievable hire. He almost was going to go to my Knicks. Phil Jackson was going to bring him in. He decided to go to the Warriors, and the rest is history. So making a coaching hire is really important. I was watching that show on Hulu, Clipped, about Donald Sterling. The racist Donald Sterling at the time, what he said at the time was pretty brutal about Magic Johnson through Vive Stiviano, his girlfriend at the time. All that was pretty graphic. And Doc Rivers was the coach. And Doc Rivers came from Boston in a championship. That was interesting to see what was happening with Doc Rivers, with Blake Griffin and Chris Paul and the chaos. I know it's made for TV. And there was a lot of drama there. So for LeBron James... You know, J.J. Redick getting a 4-year contract. Danny Hurley turned down 6 years, $70 million. So this is 4 years. You got to think it's probably going to be around, I would say, $35 to $40 million now that I look at it. And J.J. Redick's going to hit the ground running, and he's going to try to prove all his critics wrong and jump in and think he's the guy to get it done. And I'm okay with that. I'm all right with that. Whenever someone wants to try something in life, and step outside the box and do something different, I pull for people to do that. It's not easy going into a job where you walk into the room and people are betting against you. Have you ever had that in your life? Anybody?
Every day.
Yeah, Bobby says it every day. Where you walk in and you go, some people are doubting that you can get the job done. Well, that's what's happening with J.J. Redick. I mean, we know that the Lakers did not want J.J. Redick. They wanted Danny Hurley. But J.J. Redick is a grown-ass man. And he should be able to handle this news. And he should be able to jump in and, you know, be able to say, look, I am not the guy that was the first pick. I wasn't the first pick at the dance for the first dance, but I am thrilled to be here. Look at Antonio Pierce. Look at Antonio Pierce, the interim coach. Could have went to Patrick Graham. Could have went to Patrick Graham, of course. He went to Antonio Pierce, and it looks like it was the right decision. At least that's the way I hope it is. So taking a head coaching job is not easy in sports. As Tom Looney, kind enough to join us from KABC, the big newsman in L.A. on the breaking news. Hey, newsman, we get you on breaking news in L.A. What's up with the J.J. Redick news?
Well, I will tell you that the reason why this doesn't worry me, it's a roll of the dice like when you draft a quarterback. You never know, although you never know isn't a great opinion on talk radio. But, you know, when Pat Riley was hired, it was because, you know, the head coach got hit by a car. Pat Riley, we thought, had no credentials in terms of being a head coach, and we were wrong. So the only way we're going to – this is – I know you don't like when people have on-the-job tryouts in major situations.
Man, you're talking to me. You know that. You know that.
But here we go. A guy has a little on-the-job training as head coach of the Lakers.
Yeah, this would be like coming from the NFL and then be given a radio show with nine people and having and being paid $30 million and you've never hosted a radio show. I digress. But for JJ, how do you feel? We're podcast partners. Are you upset at me that LeBron wasn't your podcast partner? Maybe you would have been the head coach of the Lakers. LeBron selected his podcast partner to be his head coach. How's that going over in L.A.? I know it's breaking news, but you guys have been talking about this on the radio in L.A. for weeks now.
Well, we're always hand-wringing in L.A. if we don't win the championship every single year. Mm-hmm. It's not like Bucks fans who think, okay, we got one that we didn't have one for 30 years. We got one, we can wait another 30. We don't want to wait another 30 minutes for a championship. Mm-hmm. So we're always very impatient here. But one thing you and I can relate to, LeBron's good to his friends.
Yeah.
You're good to your friends. I'm good to my friends. If we had a chance to hire throw our friends a bone, we would. So, and he's been, you know, he's been managed by high school friends a lot of his career, et cetera, and it's worked out well for him. So hopefully this will too.
Tom Looney in L.A., my podcast partner on KABC as a news anchor. And what the elephant in the room is also Dan Hurley was offered more money and a longer deal. But I don't think J.J. Redick's going to have a problem with that. He's going to say, I wasn't your first choice. I was maybe your second or third. I'll take the job, right? That's not going to be drama now floating around L.A. that Dan Hurley turned this down anymore, right?
No, he's not going to be thinking about that. Matter of fact, I always, you know, I have one of the books I will write someday will be called Arrogance is Beautiful. Because with great arrogance, you get things like vaccines and medicine. You cure cancer. People, oh, I can cure cancer. Give me the information. You need a 25-year-old med student who says stuff like that. You need somebody who says, oh, I can coach the Lakers. Give me the job. I went to Duke. I'm smart. So, you know, he's not thinking about who they didn't hire. He's excited about getting the hire and proving people who think he's a green banana that he isn't.
And have you ever had a coach like this with this many tattoos? He has sleeves. His arms, like he looks like a male model. He's a very good-looking man, kind of like Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, all the women in Summerlin swooned when we got Jimmy Garoppolo. Is J.J. Redick going to break hearts in Manhattan Beach out to Malibu? He's a young man leading the Lakers, working for Jeannie Buss, and our friend Jay Moore. And let me tell you, our buddy Jay Moore, the famous comedian, is married to Jeannie Buss. And he's a sports guy. So, you know, he's been talking in the background about this to Jeannie.
Oh, of course. And, you know, it is beneath, you know, the Lakers are playing beneath the shadow of the Hollywood sign. And to have a Hollywood matinee idol coaching the team, it fits perfect. They have a Hollywood matinee idol who's the general manager of the Lakers. One night they had a gathering for all the big muckety-mucks and Hollywood stars who go to the games. And they said, okay, Rob Pelinka is going to come out and give a speech. And Rob Lowe came out and gave a speech, and nobody noticed the difference. And so they're enjoying their handsome people there running the ship at the Lakers.
All right, lastly on this breaking news, J.J. Redick is the new head coach of the Lakers, 4-year deal. Details coming down on this. You're also a Laker fan. The optimism, Boston just won their 18th. They're all running around like schoolboys saying, nah, 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 we have more banners than you. And they do, just one. Do you think this keeps LeBron James in L.A.? Or do you think LeBron will chase a ring in the next 2 to 3 years? I think LeBron's got two more seasons, this upcoming season and one more, to play at a very high level. And then he can go somewhere and come off the bench for 20 minutes and still be elite. But how does this play out with LeBron getting another chip?
Well, I will tell you this, that with LeBron, doesn't care about the Boston thing. That's a deeply rooted L.A. Boston thing. It kept Dr. Jerry Buss alive a few more years, I'll tell you that, because it was truly personal between the owners and general managers and operators of the Boston Celtics and the Los Angeles Lakers, especially back in the day. But the Boston Celtics thing doesn't fuel LeBron. LeBron James has always had his own fuel.
Well, thanks for leaving the hiking trail, which I know you're hiking to break this news. But thanks for doing this. And also, we got a brand new podcast. We were a little bit early. We didn't go on this, but we'll podcast about this after it settles in L.A. And have a great rest of your day, my friend.
Okay, you too. See.
That's my happy chatter companion, Tom Looney. We have a podcast, JT and Looney. If you can subscribe. I've been asking a lot of people lately to subscribe. I get it. It's the first time we're doing a lot of this stuff, and it doesn't work unless you subscribe. Like, you can do a 2 hour, you know, an hour, 40-minute podcast, and you can do a YouTube live stream, but if you don't get people to watch it, you're not doing anything. So we've been pounding away. Modelo is a sponsor, so Modelo sees the numbers, and they're really excited about what we're doing. So we're very pumped up about that. La Casa Cigars. I'll either be there tonight or tomorrow night. I go there for a cigar. I have a beverage or two. I Uber there and back, and I have a nice cigar outside. Listen to live music at La Casa Cigars. Actually, a great place to relax, man. Just relax. Look, it's not that hot out at night, man. When you're sitting outside with a fan and a cigar and a cocktail at La Casa, Mike does a beautiful job there with the music. I love live music. Dead & Company are back in town tonight. Wink, wink. I Need a Miracle. JT Needs a Miracle, wink, wink. Dead & Company. I'd go back again. I had a hell of a time at that show.
Oh, and two, Wagoner deliver. Mays hits it into left field.
That was Pete. That was Willie Mays' 3,000 hit. Got a guy on hold who had a little bit more than that. One of the all-time greats, the all-time hit king. Pete Rose, kind enough to join us on the passing of Willie Mays. Pete, thanks for a few minutes on the loss of one of your great friends. How you holding up?
Doing good. You know, he was such a good player, such a good personality. Really helped young players. I was a young player when I met him. I remember the first time I met him, I said, "It's a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Mays." And he said, "That was my dad. Call me Willie." And it seems like ever since that time, we hit it off. But I remember when I used to go to All-Star games, and Willie was on the team, along with Henry and a bunch of other guys that seemed like they were always on the All-Star team. I think Willie made 24 All-Star games, which is a hell of a lot of All-Stars, no question about that. But I just remember Willie, how he took time with the younger players. And I know he was a National League fan. He played his whole career in the National League, and he understood the importance of winning the All-Star game. And that's why I think one of the reasons why he tried to relax all the young players.
Yeah, Pete, you always told me about that and how serious you took the All-Star game. I want to follow up on Willie the competitor, 1951 Rookie of the Year, 2 years of service for his country, comes back and wins a World Series and the MVP. Imagine LeBron James or Tom Brady or someone doing that in another sport. Remarkable. Tell me about Willie when he stepped on the diamond as a competitor to want to win and be great.
Well, you knew your battle was on because that's just the way Willie was. And I never seen a guy that was so relaxed, always in a good mood, always smiling. But yet, when he was in the batter's box, he was real aggressive. And that's what I remember most about Willie. And just playing against him was a pleasure. Because, hey, he's Willie Mays. I mean, if Babe Ruth's not the greatest player ever, it's got to be Willie Mays. And he's in the same group with Babe. I mean, I didn't get to play against Babe, but I certainly got to play a lot of games with Willie as an All-Star competitor. And a lot of games against him when he was with the Giants all those years.
Pete, what was it like with all your hits when you put one in the gap and Willie was chasing it? Tell me about his speed. It was described as foul pole to foul pole was his range. Yeah. What type of defender was he when you went up against him?
Well, he's a 12-time Gold Glove outfield. I mean, and he understood scouting reports. He understood where the defense was going to be playing. That's another secret that he had that a lot of guys today don't quite understand. You know, you have to know how you're playing someone, how you're pitching someone to try to put the locks on them. And Willie was one of the best at that. He must have been in charge when they went over defensive meetings about the opposition because he always seemed to be in the right spot at the right time.
Pete Rose, as we wrap it up, also a Negro League player with Henry Aaron, the Josh Gibson stats now, becoming legit with Major League Baseball stats overall. Willie, also a pioneer from Birmingham all the way to the Polo Grounds of New York.
Yeah. Well, the Polo Grounds is a good ball club, good ballpark for him, unlike Candlestick Park. You know, Candlestick Park didn't do a home run hitter any favors. And if Willie had played his whole career, back in New York, he might have had not 660 home runs, maybe 760.
Awesome. Pete, last one. What are you excited about? What's new in your life, your travel, your family, and Vegas and all the traveling around the country? What are you excited about going forward?
Well, I think I'm excited, Jay, about I got a new documentary coming out in a couple weeks.
Okay.
And that should be a lot of fun promoting that and going around and just talking about my days as a player.
Excellent. I'll see you at Barry's. We'll have a steak. I miss you. Good talking to you.
All right, great guy. Always talking to you. Pleasure.
You got it. There he is, Pete Rose. Wow. Wow, that means a lot to me. You know, whenever I talk to someone, I don't know when I'm going to talk to him again. I don't. So Pete Rose, who is not a youngster, and he's been texting, I've been texting him, and you know, give him his space, but I thought it was important to get him to comment on Willie Mays. And that's important. So Pete Rose told you about Willie Mays, the competitor, the speed, the All-Star games, and Pete's got a documentary coming out, which is fantastic. So, look, Pete has lived a flawed life, and we all have. Some are more flawed than others. I always say whenever I talk to him, he should be in the Hall of Fame. We should have forgiven him for his transgressions as a manager of the Cincinnati Reds when he was gambling, not as a player. He's going into the Hall of Fame as a player, not a manager. And, you know, Pete's an ambassador still to baseball. He loves baseball. And, man, they're making him wait, and I think this commissioner could do something really cool. I really do, and I know this commissioner is connected to Bud Selig, and before that, Bart Giamatti, and they were all passionate about keeping Pete Rose out of the Hall of Fame, and they have. They have Pete's an elderly man now who's still out on the circuit signing autographs and spreading the word of baseball to make a living. I just wish that someday, and I don't want to get too emotional here, I just hope that someday I take my sons and my wife and I travel to Cooperstown, New York, and I hope Pete is with us alive and vibrant, and I could be at the induction in Cooperstown of Pete Rose into the Baseball Hall of Fame. That would be the highlight of my career. That gentleman gave me my start on radio as I co-hosted the Pete Rose Show. And if I didn't have that opportunity, I don't know where I'd be today. So Peter Edward Rose, 4256, the all-time hit king on the passing of Willie Mays. 702-365-9200, hour number two coming up. We'll have Johnny Katz going to join us, our entertainment reporter. Find out what's happening in Vegas, man. I saw some traffic the other day, Bobby. I was on the strip and there was traffic. Went down to one lane. It was going crazy. No one ain't traffic in Vegas. Casinos are gouging us with $18 bottles of water. $18 for a bottle of water. I'm going to get into that. Dead & Company. And the Eagles are playing at the Sphere. Wait till you hear what those tickets cost.